I appreciate having the people that's been able to stay here with us. I know it's expensive when you go off to a meeting, and I'm looking forward to some of the people that we've met coming down to Little Bethlehem. I'm certainly hoping that they will. There's nothing better than serving God. If I could find anything better, I would do it. But I've never found anything better than serving God. It's the greatest thing that I have ever found. The most rewarding thing that I have ever found. The most thrilling thing I have ever found. I'd rather serve God than anything I know of. I'd rather be alone in the woods or alone somewhere in the bedroom or wherever I can get, praying and talking to God, than to be with the kings of the earth. I really mean that. I've prayed in some strange places, in the streets, in the restrooms, in the lofts, out in the fields, in the motel rooms, the back of cars and trucks and buses and anywhere that I could get, so many different times. Out in the fields, down at the in the forest at night, alone by myself, talking to God. And it's always been such a great, wonderful, thrilling experience to me. So I'm just thankful to be a Christian. I want to read a little bit from the book of Isaiah. And the 61st chapter, the first verse. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, and to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old wastes, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities and the desolations of many generations. In the 63rd chapter, 3rd verse, I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. And I will tread down the people in mine anger, and make them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. He says in the 4th verse, for the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeem is come. All right? I want to talk with you for just a few minutes tonight and see if God will give us a thought. I can never remember at any time going behind the sacred desk or to what we refer to as the pulpit without God giving me a message or something to say to the people. There's been a few times in my life when I have come to face the people when the people were not ready to receive, or they did not have their minds and hearts toward God, and I did not try to tell them anything from God. But as a rule, when I come before the people, I always have something from God. Today, I've had a wonderful experience with God. Yesterday, I had a wonderful experience with God. I wonder just how many we've got tonight that's here, that this very day that you've had an experience with God. I wonder how many of you have had an experience with God. Have you really had an experience with God today? I've had a glorious experience with God today. While I was alone in my bedroom, I wept before God. The Spirit of God came mightily upon me, and there I wept. I was there in the room talking with God, and he so wonderfully came down and visited with me. Yesterday, the Lord came down. As I wept before God, He came down. You know, the Bible teaches that if we will sow in tears, then we doubtless shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Is that right? And the Bible tells us that Jesus, though He was a son, yet learned the obedience by the things that He suffered. And the Bible said in that He offered prayer with strong supplication in tears before God, He was heard. And a lot of times it's necessary for us to slip away somewhere and talk to God and pour our heart out to God that we might keep our hearts soft and tender before God. You know, man has a tendency to get hard. It's so easy for man to get hard. And the one thing that God warned the people about was not to get hard. He said, harden not thine heart as they did in the days of the provocation in the wilderness when God proved them there, when they tempted God so much, and God eventually just opened up the earth and let the earth swallow them up. How do you know that we're made out of the dust? And when you harden your heart against God, this old fleshly body of yours, through lust, will just open up and swallow your soul up. Did you know that? It'll just swallow you up. And so then it is needful that we pray to God and that we talk to God that we might stay tender before God. Because the Holy Spirit is very tender like a dove. He's very, very tender. And if we get hard, He cannot commune with us. We must be real tender to be able to record the reflex of God and the moving of the Spirit. A lot of people will never know anything about God because they are hard-hearted. Now when you speak of being hard-hearted, folks, you know they get the wrong idea about that. They think that what you mean is somebody that's brutal, somebody that's mean, somebody that's contrary, somebody that doesn't have any feeling toward humanity. But that's not what God means about being hard. All you have to do is just be carnally minded. Just get a little bit carnally minded and you begin to get hard. Get a little bit worldly minded and you begin to get hard. Your heart is not flexible. Your heart is not tender. It's not soft toward the things of God. You become very firm in your attitude. You become ecclesiastical in what you want to do. And you're not flexible. You're not tender. The Spirit of God can't motivate your life. God can't just touch it and tell you where to go and what to do. We get set in our ways. You understand what I'm saying? I was telling Brother David today as he was driving me around to earlier the day that he needs to be careful. I said, David, if you want God to lead you, be tender. Be very careful because God will tell you to go a certain way. Sometimes you'll be driving down the street and God will just automatically let some little something confront you out here that'll cause you to detour from the thing that you've got in your mind. And you'll find yourself going down another road. And if you're not careful, that old carnal reasoning of yours, it'll say, no, I'm not planning to go there. I want to go such and such a place. And there you'll miss God. See, we are not our own. We are bought with a price. And God wants us to be tender. So many multiplied times in my life, I had intellectual plans to go one place, and God had spiritual plans for me to go another place. You ever been like that? Did you know a lot of times God, because we are not spiritual, God has to use a natural human desire to get us over into a place to where He can do a spiritual thing with us. We are so far away from the Spirit and so separated from communing with God, so very carnal, that God has to allow some natural desire to arise within our heart to take us over into some place that He might get us there and then reveal to us His spiritual will. He's done that with me a lot of times. But I prefer to be in a place to where God can talk to me, where I can be tender. The Bible tells us to be still and know that I'm God. Most of the time when we come to church, the first thing we look for is a big noise and some big shout and a lot of emotion. And I believe that we ought to have emotion. I said that last night. There's a time to praise God. Last night we was praising God. We were worshiping God. We were giving glory to God and God was blessing. But there's also a time when God wants us to be still. The Bible tells us to be still and know that I'm God. Here's a time when He wants us to listen to every word and give the more earnest heed to the things that we hear, lest we should let those things slip. Because everything that's spoken is important to God. Everything. When God spoke to Elijah, there wasn't a shout.
There wasn't a lot of noise, but he just called him away. And there over in a cave somewhere, a small, still voice said, "Elijah, Elijah." And a lot of times, it's when we least expect it that a voice will say, "Elijah, Elijah." Is that right? When we least expect it. God, the way that God speaks, most people will never commune with God. Most people will never understand the voice of God. They'll never have fellowship with God because they don't understand God. They don't know God. They've never come in contact with God. The Bible tells us in the last days, they that know their God shall do mighty exploits. If they know their God, you've got to come in contact with God. You've got to understand God. Know that God is a spirit and that God is everywhere moving and that you can make contact with Him. You understand what I'm saying? The atoms out here in the air. Atoms are floating around everywhere. But you've got to have the right mechanism to contact those atoms. Is that right? You can't contact those atoms unless you have the right mechanism. There's voices that's in the atoms, that's out in the rocks, that's laying in the field. And if you had the right mechanism, you could contact the voices that's in those rocks. Jesus spoke of it one time. Said, if you hold your peace, even the rocks would cry out their praise. Why? Because there's voices hid away within the atoms. Praises that's come down through the many long years. There's voices that's in the air today. Everything that's ever been spoken is recorded. And someday it will speak back. And we'll have to stand in the presence of God and hear those things as they begin to speak. We're going to be shocked in that time. We'll be standing there before God, and God will be judging us. And all of a sudden, from many long years back, maybe hundreds of years back, a voice will speak out and cry an evil thing. And all of a sudden, you'll become aware that that's your voice. And back there, when you've done that thing in secret, God recorded it. And that is a testimony against you. And all of those things are recorded, and they're out there in the air, and you can pick them up. You understand what I'm saying? It's been known that overseas they picked up pictures by means of television that was shown over here in America many years before it was recorded over there. And they would call and get in touch with the people over here. And they'd say, "You're coming in fine over here." And they said, "What are you talking about?" And they'd tell them about the movie they were seeing. And they said, "Well, that was years and years ago." But it was still in the air. They had the right mechanism. Hallelujah. The voices of the prophets are still in the air tonight. The revelation of Jesus Christ is still present tonight. The voice of God is still here tonight. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. It's still here. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still talking. But you've got to have the right mechanism. Hallelujah. If you're the right kind of machine tonight, and you tune in on that thing, the life of Jesus Christ will project itself through you. That's right. You can go out into the heavenlies like the astronaut, get up there with God, and through the little television screen of your heart, you can televise the wonderful things of God that you see in the heavenly places back to those listening ears and to those looking eyes. Hallelujah. That's wonderful. To me, that's wonderful. To be able to go out into the heavenlies. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with God. To get caught up in the Spirit and then telecast back to the world as you talk to them from the heavenly places and tell them how wonderful it is up there. As you fellowship the saints of God that's gone on and you fellowship the angelic host in heaven. As you fellowship Christ and from that world you're televising back and you're telecasting back to the world that they might hear the wonderful voice of Jesus Christ. Oh, you say, "Brother Pike, you can't go out there." But I've already been out there. I go out there every once in a while. It's like a pilot. You know, I fly a little bit. I fly a little bit in an airplane and a whole lot with God. Amen. That's right. I get in an airplane, we take off. We get up there and it feels real good. And after a while, you have to come back and land. And so it is with God. I get with God and we go up there and we sail around maybe 2 or 3 hours, sometimes longer. And we get up there in the heavenlies, and I don't want to come back down. But then after I step there a while, and then all of a sudden I feel myself coming back down, you know. And when I come back down, I say, "Well, but I don't want to, God. I don't want to." But He'll say, "You have to go tell the people what I told you. How are you going to do me any good if you don't go back down there? Then I said, well, Lord, if that's what you want, that's what I want. But folks, let me tell you, tonight we've got the greatest opportunity that's ever been afforded to any generation. This is the greatest generation that ever lived on the face of the earth. This is the generation that can walk hand in hand with God and talk with God and hear the voice of God and tell the world what God is saying. How many are trying to tell the world tonight what God's saying? How many of you are doing that? Are you really telling the world what Jesus said? Do you know what Jesus said? Hallelujah. Do you know who Jesus is? We use that little theme. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. It's one thing if you know who Jesus is. It's another thing to be able to tell who Jesus is. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. I know you're listening tonight. But I want to get something over to you tonight. The small, still voice of God. The small, still voice. Why is it referred to as a still voice? Because it is so still that there is nothing that can record it. There is no human mechanism that can record it. Even the nerves of your ear that is so sensitive cannot record it. Even the 22 conductive nerves from the eye of the brain, they cannot record God. Nothing can record it. Except the Spirit of Jesus Christ, which is in your heart. If you've got the Spirit of Jesus Christ, then you are relative to the angelic host. You're relative to Michael. You're relative to Gabriel. You're relative to the great angelic powers that's in the other world. And you can make contact. And you can hear the voice of God. It's not something that you hear with your natural ears. But the voice of God is still, very still. Then how can you get in touch with God? The Bible said, my sheep know my voice. They know my voice. That means it is a knowledge. The voice of God is a revealed knowledge. It's very still. Nobody sees it. Nobody hears it. But somebody said, did you know all of a sudden they said it dawned on me, Brother Pike. It dawned on me. It suddenly dawned on me. What was it? It was more than a dawning. It was the voice of God. Is that right? Now, somebody said, but I don't hear the voice of God. But you do hear the voice of God. You do hear the voice of God. The Bible bears out the fact that you hear the voice of God. But the thing is, you don't understand the voice of God. That's where the problem is. Job said many times God speaks to us. But he said, we don't understand. We don't perceive. He said, even in the night when deep sleep falls upon us, God will speak to us. And God will try to convey his will to us and try to tell us things. He tries to catch us at night when this human body is motionless, when all of the energetic power's gone, when we've used up the energy, when we become still, when we lay there and this outer man is not ambitious, and that spiritual being on the inside begins to drift, and it begins to get loose from the body long enough to where God can begin to speak to it. You understand what I'm saying? How wonderful when deep sleep falleth upon us. Daniel said, I dreamed. A lot of people don't even understand visions. You can tell somebody that you had a dream. And if you call it a vision, somebody would say, well, that's not a vision, that's a dream. Because they don't understand the Bible. Some of you know the teachings that we have concerning the three minds and how they react. How that those three minds work on you. In the nighttime, you're subject to those three minds. And one of those minds is your mind. And one of those minds is Satan's mind. And one of those minds is God's mind. And when you have your dream, that's one kind of a dream. When you have a satanic dream, that's another kind of a dream. And when you have a God dream, that's a different dream altogether. You follow me? The Bible's got a title for every one of them. What kind of dream is it if a man dreams? The Bible said that he dreams from the multitude of business. He gets so busy through the day. He gets wrapped up in the things he's doing through the day that he's restless at night and he can't rest and he has a dream from the multitude of business. Then what kind of a dream is it when you have Satan's mind? The Bible speaks of filthy dreamers. These are called filthy dreams. He brings filth into your mind. He brings unbelief into your mind. He brings criticism. He brings fear into your mind. But what kind of a dream is it when the mind of God speaks to you? It's a wholesome dream. A dream that warns you. A dream that protects you. A dream that builds you up. What kind of dream is it? Daniel said, I dreamed and the vision of my head troubled me. It's a vision. Daniel said, I dreamed. And he called it a vision. He said, the vision of my head troubled me. It was a dream. But he said, the vision of my head troubled me. Joseph was a dreamer. His brethren hated him because he was a dreamer. You ever heard of people being daydreamers? I'm a daydreamer. I sit around and God talks to me through the daytime. I find myself in a dream. I find myself in a trance because I get caught away with God. Hallelujah. You understand what I mean? And so then God wants us to get in that place like Peter when he was on the top of the house there, a housetop, waiting for him to prepare a meal. The Bible said he became very hungry. But all of a sudden he fell into a trance. You ever fell into a trance? Just be sitting there. All of a sudden you just be so hungry you begin to get weak. And a weak sensation goes over you. And that old natural energy begins to subside. And you find as it becomes abated that there is something begins to happen to you. Your mind, which is your spirit, begins to drift. And suddenly it drifts out into another place. And all of a sudden you begin to see things. You begin to hear things. You begin to know things. Things begin to take place. That's a trance from God. But today, people can't stop eating long enough. People can't stop drinking long enough. People can't stop talking long enough. People can't stop riding long enough. People's got to be talking, riding, eating, watching television, listening to the radio. In other words, the devil keeps them preoccupied all the time. He keeps them in such a condition that they never have time to listen to God. But he said, be still. Get somewhere and be still. And know that I'm God. I noticed it overseas when we was there in the Holy Land a few weeks ago. That you go into their sanctuaries. The Bible said salvation is of the Jews. And you go into their sanctuary. Everything is very quiet. Very quiet. Nobody hardly moves a muscle. You can't come in unless you're very, very reverent in their sanctuary. You can't hardly do anything. It's so very quiet. You know why that is? Because salvation is of the Jews. And they've learned to be still before God and hear the voice of God. That's why that the Spirit of God was so mighty in the Holy Land. That's why that God moved so mightily through that place. They had learned to listen to God. Prophets like Elijah would spend years out in solitary places getting acquainted with the voice of God. Understanding God, learning what God had to say. And then all of a sudden they would come out of those solitary places and they would come to the public and they would say, thus saith the Lord. Amen, it's right. They would be so tender, so very tender before God. They'd been out there with the birds and been out there with the animals and been out there where it was quiet. They were out of the realms of confusion and they'd listen to God and they would come in very tender. And all of a sudden the Spirit of God would come upon them and they'd feel a great inspiration and they'd open their mouth and they'd say, thus saith the Lord. And then it would be like the preacher of today that's really anointing. The Bible said it's not him that speaketh but the heavenly Father that speaketh from within him. And he becomes anointed and the voice of God begins to speak. God wants fellowship with his people. I made the statement last night that God would like to have fellowship with you. Today, as he came down in my room and he talked with me, and the Spirit of God came so mightily upon me, there when I was all by myself talking to God, I wept bitterly. I wept till I could not weep anymore before God. I wept with all of my might before God Because it was such a thrilling experience. It was such a great thing. As God began to talk with us, it was such an outstanding thing to hear the voice of God and to know that God was doing something. Hallelujah. But God is trying to get us in a place to where we'll be still, where we will hear and where we will know the voice of God, to where He can speak to you and tell you this man's affliction, to tell you that woman's affliction, to tell you what's going on in that woman's heart or in that man's heart. How many of you know that we're supposed to know the very heart of mankind? The Bible said Jesus perceived their, whatever was in their heart, He perceived that in His spirit. If you don't have divine perception tonight, you're not in the place with God you're supposed to be. If you can't perceive a man's thoughts, if you can't perceive a man's spirit, if you don't know the condition of a person's spirit, you're not in the place with God you should be. Especially a minister. You're supposed to know. We're supposed to walk with God. The Bible said Enoch walked with God. And we're supposed to walk with God. He's trying to perfect our faith. He's trying to let us know what's going on in the spiritual realms out here. If I do know what's going on in your heart, then that means that I've been with God, because man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. Hallelujah. And I know your thoughts. And some of them ain't too good toward me. Especially one fella, I just picked up his spirit then. He don't think good toward me at all. He don't even believe what I said. His spirit, just to prove that I do know what he's thinking, his spirit just said then that I didn't know what I was saying. But I do know, the fact that I know what you said in your heart proves I know what I'm saying, because that's what I said. Now, but your thoughts are not good toward me. But God said my thoughts are good toward you. I have good thoughts toward you because I love you tonight. And I want to help you tonight. I want to help you understand the voice of God, because God desires to use you tonight. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, God can never use me. But every person in you tonight, God wants to use you. If you're willing to yield yourself to God, God wants to speak to you. Hallelujah. This is a great day. The Bible said in times gone by, God spoken to the people by the prophets. He did that in times gone by. But today He has spoken unto us by His Son Jesus. He has spoken unto us by the membership of the body, by the fivefold ministry, by flesh of His flesh and bone of His bone. And today Christ is living on the inside of your human body. The Bible said if any man deny that Christ is living inside of the human body, that man is an antichrist. If any person denies that the Holy Ghost tabernacles inside of this body, that man is an antichrist. God today is in the human body. He's in the flesh. He's inside of me tonight. Amen. Somebody would say, but I don't believe that. But that doesn't make any difference. He's still on the inside of me. It's Christ within you, the hope of glory. Tonight, God's wanting to do something for you. God is lifting you up in this generation and at this hour, not just to be a church member, not to go to somebody's church and pay tithes, not to have somebody deceive you just so that they can get every dollar and every dime that they can out of you. Some of you are such aristocrats, you'll never be used of God. Some of you in your spirit are completely motionless. You don't have any feeling toward God, any real respect toward God. You don't have any inward stirring toward God. You're completely motionless in your spirit. But you know what? When you make contact with God, your spirit will jump up and down just like the raindrops. That's right. Hallelujah. I'm telling you the truth. When you really contact God on the inside, you're having a jubilee all the day long. If you're not having a jubilee all the day long, you've not made contact with God. Serving God's joy, it's like a fountain of fresh waters ever bubbling up on the inside. When I least expect it, I'll be riding down the road. And I least expect the presence of God to come down. And all of a sudden, I'll start weeping and tears will start running down my cheeks and begin to drip off my cheeks. And there I'll hear the voice of God. Today, He spoke to me so many times today. And He spoke to me so loud today. And he told me so many wonderful things today. And I come here to the service tonight, but it's almost impossible to tell you. You say, why? Because of unbelief. It's because of unbelief. It's not likely that when you come into a congregation like this that you'll find three people out of the whole congregation that really has a heart of faith. Not likely that you'll find that many. Now you might find a lot of people that's trying to believe, a lot of people that would like to believe, a lot of honest hearts, but I'm talking about three people with faith. The disciples came to Jesus one time, and they said, Lord, we'd like for you to increase our faith. They said, we'd like for you to do something for our faith. Said, we'd like for you to increase it. Jesus didn't say it in these words, but this is what he meant. Jesus said, increase it. Why, he said, if you had any at all, you could move a mountain. Are you listening? Talking about increasing it, he said, if you just had as much as a grain of mustard seed, so that mountain would get out of the way if you'd tell it to move. Not a matter of increasing, it's a matter of you getting some. Are you listening? Somebody said, oh, Brother Pike, you ain't smart. What that means is a mustard seed, you know, and it grows into a big tree. No, you're not smart. That's not what it means at all. I know that part and the other part too. Jesus said, if you got faith like a grain of mustard seed, you'd move a mountain. Brother, he wasn't talking about no big tree growing from a little seed. I know he had reference to that our faith is likened unto a mustard seed that grows up. It starts with a little thing, and it grows up into a big tree. I know that. But he didn't say if you had faith as a big tree. He said, as a mustard seed. Amen. So they said, Lord, increase our faith. And Jesus said, I say to you, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you say to that mountain, be removed, and be removed, and nothing be impossible to you. And he said, if you say anything in your heart, it doesn't matter what it is. If you say anything in your heart and you don't doubt, but you believe that the thing that you've spoken in your heart said it shall come to pass. Come on, folks. I'm talking about real, genuine faith. You say, Brother Pike, do you believe in that? I not only believe in it, but I practice it. I practice it. Whatever I ask God, God gives it to me. My cup runs over tonight. I've asked God for many things, and God has given me many things. And tonight I am aware that if I ask God for anything, God will do it. You know why some of you cannot get in touch with God? It's because you don't live holy. You don't live right. John said, when we do the things that please God, hereby we assure our hearts before God. And when we assure our hearts before God, then we have confidence with God. And whatever we ask of God, God hears us and gives it to us. You know what it said about Enoch? It said Enoch walked with God, and Enoch was not, for God took him. And the Bible said the reason God took him, before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. He pleased God. But the Bible said without faith it's impossible to please God. He had this testimony that he pleased God. Everyone that knows that you're pleasing God tonight, I want you to raise your hand. See, we got a shortage. I think I could have counted them all on one hand. You understand what I'm saying? Somebody said, Brother Pike, I'm a believer. How in the world could you be a believer when the Bible says you got to please God? And the Bible said without faith you can't please God. A lot of people say, I believe in the love of God, Brother Pike. I hear ministers get up, you know, and they don't want to correct their congregation. They don't want to teach them to live right. And they'll talk about love, the love of God, the love of God. But the Bible said that the love of God is perfected in the individual that keeps the word of God. Said he that keepeth the word of God, in him is the love of God perfected. That means that it takes the word of God to give faith, and it takes the word of God to give love. For in the beginning was the word of love, who is God. If God in the beginning was the Word, and if the Word was love, and God is love, how can you have love without having the Word? Somebody would say, but I got the Word, Brother Pike.
But the Bible tells me that if you are a hearer of the word, and if you don't do the word, you've not really got the word. But the Bible tells me we must be a doer of the word. So then what does the word say? The word said, perfecting holiness unto God. Perfecting holiness, be holy in body. Be holy in spirit. Is that right? Cast down every thought, every imagination, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Is that right? I'm talking about pleasing God. That's why that we don't have the faith that we need. I'm thankful tonight because I do know that I have faith in God. I know that I have faith in God. You say, Brother Pike, how do you know that you have faith in God? Because I've proven that I have faith in God. I put it to the test. Many times I put it to the test. And God has always answered me. In every case, God always answered me. That might not come to pass today. It might take a few days. It might take a few months. But God always answers my prayer. Now, you know what David said? David said, the Lord favors me. Some of them wanted to know how that he knew that God favored him. He said, I know that God favors me because my enemies doesn't overcome me. You understand what I'm saying? He said, I know that God favors me because my enemies are not able to overcome me. So that I know that God favors me tonight because my enemies have not been able to overcome me. And my enemies have been many. So then tonight, God is wanting to bring that small, still voice and talk with you. He's wanting to do something for you tonight. I realize I'm just talking to you a little bit and exhorting you tonight. I'm not preaching what you call an evangelistic message. This platform helps that some. But I want you to know tonight that what I'm saying to you is worth more than all the gold and silver in the world. I could shout and jump and holler. And last night I felt like doing it. I thought I might even cut loose and start dancing up here last night. That's right. Somebody said, oh, Brother Pike, you can't do that. You just ain't been around when I did do it. Oh, I've danced like a wild Indian numbers of times in my life. Somebody said, oh, now, Brother Pike. Yeah, sure enough. Amen. I'm subject to do that anytime. Now, I try to restrain myself as much as I can when I'm in the midst of a congregation, even when I feel like dancing. Why? Because Jesus never practiced that. He never practiced that. But it was all right. David danced with all of his might. And it's all right. Somebody said, well, Jesus never did do that. I don't know whether he did or not. The Bible don't record it. But I know he got mighty excited sometimes. But there's one thing about it. The things that I'm saying to you tonight is just the way that Jesus would say them to you. When he got in the little boat and he just pushed out from the shore and sat there in the little boat and he taught the people. When he got up on the mountainside and he taught the people. Like a few days back when we were over in the Holy Land and there up on the Mount of Transfiguration, we just took a few minutes and taught the people. And there on the Mount of Beatitude, when we got there, we took a few minutes and we taught the people just like Jesus did. We raise our voice sometimes, but the Bible tells us to lift up our voice like a trumpet. And sometimes we shout. I believe Jesus did that. I believe sometimes he lifted up his voice like a trumpet. I believe that. To make the people to hear him. And sometimes we do that. And then there's times that we talk to you like we do tonight. Tonight's the last night of this meeting as far as I know. We could go on. We could set up a tent. We could go ahead and rent this building. We could go on and God, no telling what God would do here. But I felt like tonight should be the last of the meeting. Because if I understand right, God isn't wanting to break out with a great revival here. God is wanting to spearhead something right here in this place toward an eastern move. And it has to start right here. And it has to do with that little Bethlehem camp meeting. It's coming up on the 4th of July. That's right. The 4th of July is when they changed the government. How do you know that? The old government goes out in the 4th of July. That's independence. It goes out. That's the day that they celebrate things with the fireworks. And this thing is going out. And in a little while, God's going to celebrate with the fireworks. How do you know that? But he's trying to get us all in. Trying to get us all ready. Not into a shout, but he's trying to get us into one mind and one accord. To get us into that small, still voice. God has one desire tonight, friend. And that is to perfect within you the mind of Christ. He is wanting to give you the mind of his Son. The mind of Christ. So please God. While it was tabernacling in the body called Jesus, that God has determined that every human tabernacle should have that mind, that he would be as pleased with every tabernacle, yours and mine and everyone, the same way that he was with Jesus's. If he can get the same mind within you, that tabernacle in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll be very happy with you. If he doesn't get the mind of Christ within you, you can shout, you can plan, you can preach, you can go here and there, you can do whatever you want to, but you will never please God. Because as I said the other night, there's but one faith. I want to take just a few minutes here and relate a few things to you, and then we're going to change the order of the service. I felt like doing it this way tonight. There is but one faith, one baptism, one Lord, just one. Not two, not three. Somebody said, you can be baptized any way you want to. No, you can't. The person that told you you could be baptized any way you want to, he lied to you. You cannot be baptized any way you want to. Somebody said it doesn't matter whether you're baptized or not. The person that told you that lied to you. God never sent him to you. The Bible teaches that he that God sendeth will speak God's word. Why would God send anybody that's not going to speak his word? If God sends a person to you, that person will speak God's word. Else God's kingdom is divided. So then whatever God's word says, that's what the preacher will say. And the word says there's but one baptism. And the Bible tells us that we need to repent. And be sprinkled for the remission of sin. That wasn't what it said, was it? Well, then why do we do it? Come on, folks, now don't get all upset. I said, if it doesn't say that, then why do we do it? Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, I do it because that's what the preacher said. But if the Bible doesn't say that, then why did the preacher say it? Are you listening? Like the feller today that was preaching. And he said, Blessed Mary, Holy Mary, Mother of God. Since when did God have a mother? Blessed Mary, I agree with that. Blessed Mary, that's right. The Bible said, from henceforth all people shall call me blessed. That's right. I say that she's Blessed Mary. To be the mother of Jesus Christ, she's Blessed Mary, but not mother of God. God is a spirit. She's not the mother of God. God doesn't have a mother. Since when has God ever had a mother? If God's got a mother, we all better get acquainted with her. So then, you say, I don't believe that, Brother Pye. Then if you don't believe that God's got a mother, then why do you listen to somebody to preach it? If America's so brilliant, so religious, and she has such great Bible scholars, then why in the world do they permit such a thing? Are you listening? Somebody said, well, it doesn't matter. It mattered with God years ago. Why does it matter? Why is it it doesn't matter with God today? Why? Are you listening to me, folks? Are we going to get close to home here in just a few minutes? The Bible tells us to dress as becometh holiness. Thank you. Glad I got some believers. It said, go down to the local store and get your wife a nice pantsuit because that becometh holiness. I said, it said, not the Bible. I'm not trying to be comical. I'm just trying to make a point. You understand what I'm saying? Somebody said, I don't believe the Bible said that, Brother Pye. Then why did you do it? You say, I don't believe that pantsuits become holiness. Then why do you tell the people to wear them? Or why do you listen to the preacher that tells them? Or listen, you ought to get rid of that fella. Somebody said, well, bless God, I don't believe in pantsuits, but I don't see nothing with miniskirts. So then it said, go down to the local store, get your wife a miniskirt so she can dress as becometh holiness. Somebody said, now, I don't believe the Bible said that, Brother Pye. Then why is it that the preacher tells them that it's all right to do it? Either the Bible says it or the preacher is a liar. I said there's not two or three baptisms, there's one baptism. There's not two or three lords, there's just one Lord. There's not two or three gospels, there's just one gospel. Either it's the gospel of the preacher or the man that said it is a liar. Are you listening? Then the Bible said dresses becometh holiness. I believe the lady ought to wear her dress all the way down to her ankles. You know why I believe that? Because she looks like a lady when she does it. Now somebody would say, Brother Pike, do you believe that's going to take her into heaven? I tell you what I believe. I believe that we are saved by the grace of God. How do you believe that? Because it takes grace to put up with us, even when we got the long dresses on. Is that right? Well, let me tell you something. The Bible said that Jesus was our example. In the book of Revelation, when he resurrected from the dead, the Bible said that he had... Have you listened to what I'm saying? It said he had on his knee pants. No. And what did he say? It said his garment was all the way down. Is that right? Right on down to the ankle. Is that right? Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, in the garden, don't you remember when they done wrong? God, he wrapped a piece of skin around them. That wasn't what it said, folks. It said that he made them coats. Not an apron. America makes the aprons. God makes the coats. I'm here to make you some coats tonight so you can take the aprons off and put on the coats. God's in the coat making business. America's in the apron making business. You follow me? Somebody said, Brother Pike, you think you're cute? I don't even think my wife thinks that. Oh, somebody said, now, Brother Pike, you talking about America making aprons? I want to tell you something, folks. Grandma's apron was longer than the ones America's making. Her apron would have been a blessing to some of the ladies of today. That's right. So then, we need to teach our ladies to cover up their nakedness, folks. Why don't they do it? Because the preacher doesn't tell them. The preacher says it's not necessary to do that. You liar. Why do you lie to the people when you know they're going to go to hell because you want their dollar? Someday they'll gnash on you in hell with their teeth. You've got to dress holy, folks. Now, wouldn't I look like something tonight if I come up here with my pants up to here? Somebody'd say, do you think, Brother Pike, that I'd sit there and listen to you preach if you had your pants up to here? Well, I'm talking about putting them down below my knee. And you think I'd sit here and listen at you? I don't believe you would. But you sure do love to listen to those ladies sing when they got them there and above too. it's wrong for the preacher to be up here, it's wrong for the lady to be up here like that. If it's wrong for the man to wear his up to here, it's wrong for the lady to wear hers up to there. You know what it is? It's a custom to wear miniskirts. A few years ago, it wasn't a custom. And the ladies are ashamed because it is a custom. They are ashamed to wear the long dresses. Grandma, a few years ago, should have been ashamed to wear the short ones because it was a custom to wear the long ones. It's a custom, and the Bible said the custom of the people is vain. Is that right? There, we strained a gnat and swallow a camel. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, do you want me to look like an old fogey? I don't know what an old fogey is. I know that Catholic sisters go around, some of them with theirs down to the shoe top, there at the hospitals and everywhere else. They don't think it's disgraceful. Neither does the president. Neither does the kings of the nation. They belong to it. The kings join it. The great millionaires join it. And those that won't join it support it. You know why? Because they've got some sheep clothing. Somebody said wolves, but sheep clothing. I think we need to kill the wolves and get the sheep clothing. That's what I feel. The movie stars, they want to go out to the big to-dos, they put on their long dresses. Oh, I know they split them up the side, but they still put them on. Why is it such a disgrace for our people to wear them? When the bicentennials come, why, the ladies put on the dresses. Why? Because the president asked them to do it. But now that's not disgraceful. But now if Jesus asks you to do it, that's disgraceful. The president can ask you to do it. Why? Nobody would think anything about that. Say, why not? Because the president said do it. But the God who made heaven and earth asked you to do it, and you can't do it. You strain a gnat and swallow a camel. Blind leaders of the blind, they all fall in the ditch. I'm going to tell you something, folks, and you can take it from me. The preacher can preach faith to you all he wants to. He can preach grace to you all he wants to. But if you don't cover up your naked body, you're going to hell. That's what this preacher's telling you because that's the word of God. You follow me? Now, you need to get right with God. Like somebody said not too long ago, don't preach on the clothesline. So they stopped preaching on it, and there's no clotheslines hardly anymore. You don't need them because a lot of folks ain't got no clothes no more. You follow me? Somebody got upset and left then. You know why? Because they had a miniskirt up to here. Somebody said, well, she probably felt like he was talking to her. I'm sure she did. But I didn't know nothing about it because I couldn't even see her miniskirt from here. I didn't know what she had on a long dress. What it was a conviction of the heart that got her up and caused her to leave. That's what it was. But folks, I say it again. She went away with one understanding that if she don't do better, she's going to go to hell. See, her blood's off of my hands. But if I had went on and not preached the gospel, then she'd have went away feeling she was all right. And then when she went to hell, I'd went to hell with her. The Bible said you better thank God, speed your partaker of the evil. If you let that thing come into church and stay in the house of God and you know it's there and you don't condemn it and tear it down, you are worse than they are. A lot worse. All right. I'm going to close here in just a few minutes now. I felt like saying those things. Let me tell you this, folks. I love you tonight. That's why I'm preaching the gospel to you. I'm taking my time and saying it in a way that everybody can understand it. Not to hurt you, not to tear you down, but to build you up. This is a way that's called holiness. A godly thing. If the Bible said to wear mini skirts, then let's go buy us a whole train load tonight. If the Bible teaches that dressing holy is walking around in pantsuits, let's go buy all that we can get and put the ladies in them. The Bible said if a woman wear anything that pertaineth to a man, it's abomination in the sight of God. That's right. If it's right to wear mini skirts, then let's let them wear them. And let's don't condemn it. Now somebody would say, but Brother Pike, I believe. But it's not what you believe. It's what the Bible says about it. Somebody said, but I'm convicted. That doesn't have anything to do with it. But somebody said, but I've been taught, Brother Pike. But that doesn't have anything to do with it. It's what the Bible says. Is that right? And I say this, that if it's wrong for a man to run around with his pants leg cut off up to here, then it's wrong for the lady to run around with her dresses cut off up there. And I'm going to say this. If a preacher don't believe it's wrong, he needs to cut his pants leg off and get in there with him. Amen. You know why he won't do it? He's staying out of public. Watch him in his secret places. I said, watch him in his secret places. He won't do it in public. But let him get around to where the people don't know what's going on. Watch him slip out his little shorties. Oh, it's there. You can't hide it. You can't hide it. If the devil's got you, he's got you. And if he ain't got you, he ain't got you. You understand with me? Somebody said, you don't know what you're talking about. Yes, I do. The Bible spoke about a fellow that God told him things in his bedchamber. God tells me things in my bedchamber. When a man upholds lust and a man upholds evil, that man is evil. It don't matter what he says. It don't matter what he does. He'll cross you, and in his spirit he's crossed with you. And you may think he's with you all you want to, but he's contrary to you. You understand what I'm saying? Folks, I'm talking about old-time Holy Ghost living. I'm talking about the thing that'll do when you lay down on your pillar to die. The thing that'll take you into that other world. I'm telling you about the gospel tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. This is what the church is coming to. Somebody said they'll never do it. The elders won't do it. They're going to stay with that doctrine and die in the wilderness. But watch them young girls do it. Watch them young boys do it. See, the elders has got to protect something. They got to protect what they've been preaching. They've got to protect their doctrine. They say, we belong to this church for 50 years. Why? We couldn't do a thing like that. But them young boys and girls said, we don't belong to nothing. We're hippies and dope addicts and everything else. If Brother Pike says this is the way and he shows it to us in the Bible, then why not do it? I know that's right because it done come to me and told me. That's why Moses died in the wilderness. Amen. Said, go tell him Moses is dead. Dead. Them denominational moves is dead. That's a Moses move. They're dead. They died with miniskirts and they died with pantsuits. And they died in their convictions of doctrines and their ideas. They died. It's like a feller down in Macon, Georgia. Said, I believe in predestination. I believe in predestination too. I believe in as much as anybody here. But I believe you can be predestinated for hell as good as you can for heaven. And the man kept saying, well, I believe in predestination. I believe in predestination. I said, you better get in holiness. You better get in holiness. You better get in holiness. So he finally said, I believe in predestination. He'd done this, and he believed in predestination. He'd done that. Believed in predestination. After a while, he began to drink beer. And then all of a sudden, it dawned on him that he still believed in predestination, but he might be predestinated in the wrong direction. The Bible said, make sure you're calling. It said, make sure you're calling. See if you're one of the predestinated. How can you tell whether you're one of the predestinated or not? Lady, by dressing holy. If that nature within you will make you dress holy, and man, if that nature in you will make you be clean and holy, then you're predestinated. If you can't make yourself dress holy, and talk holy, and think holy, and preach holy, and look holy, and act holy, then you're predestinated in the wrong direction. I don't care what you say or think. That's where the Bible teaches it. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. Now, I took a little longer than I intended to tonight. But you had a good spirit. Somebody told me years ago, they said, Brother Pike, you can't do that. I said, why come I can't do that? I said, God told me to do that. They said, why, don't you know that ain't nobody going to listen to that? Said, don't you know that you won't have nobody to preach to? But I noticed we got several tonight. I've been preaching this way for a long time, and I have yet to ever go to a place that I didn't have a congregation. And I preached all the way from Canada to Mexico, all the way from California to Florida, over into the islands, over into some of the foreign places, but everywhere I went, God gave me a congregation. The man in California said, Brother Pike, or out in Colorado, said, you can't preach like that. He said, if I preach like that, half of my people will leave. I said, well, isn't that what it's all about? Didn't God say separate the sheep from the goat? I said, you're expecting to take them all in? That's what it's for. Jesus said in the revival, you cast out your net. They've cast out the nets. They've had some great revivals, folks. And they pulled them in by the great droves, as we would say. How do you know that? Sure, old Roberts cast out a net. Brother William Branham cast out a net. Brother T.L. Osborne cast out a net. That was good for that day. I'm not in disagreement with it. What did they pull in? The miniskirts, the fornicators, the liars, the cheats, the swindlers. But they got some good fish too. You understand what I'm saying? You can catch a shark or anything. Jesus said that was good. In the time of revival, it's fine. But he said when they got it to Shoah, they sat down and said they began to throw some of it back. Come on. That's the part the preacher don't like. The preacher says, now wait a minute. God said, throw him back. He's no good. But the preacher said, but he's $20 a week. God said, throw him back. He's no good. But he said, now Lord... God said, Samuel, get up off of your face. I've told you I'm through with Saul. I've not got anything to do with Saul. Saul rejected the word of God. I've rejected Saul. I'm through with him. Throw him back. You follow me? Throw him back. Somebody said, but I just can't stand it, Brother Pike. If somebody leaves, it just does something to me. It don't bother me. If God wants to throw him back, let God throw him back. The Bible said if you bear any of them, they'll be pricks in your side. I had to learn that the hard way. You follow me? So I just throw them back. Folks, let me tell you something. That revival of throwing out the net, getting everything is gone. Them days are over. Them days are over. We've got a day of knowledge now. We understand better than that now. We know what God's requiring now. And it's the throwing back time now. You don't look too pretty to me to throw you back. You don't look too good to me to throw you back. Somebody said, you don't have the power to do that, but I do have the power to do that. The minister's the only one that does have the power to do it. He said, if you bind it on earth, I'll bind it in heaven. You throw it back, I'll throw it back. You keep it, I'll keep it. You bless it, I'll bless it. You curse it, I'll curse it. Somebody said, Brother Pike, do you mean to tell me all them preachers going through the land, you believe God's going to do that? I certainly don't. All them fellas going through the land's called preachers. They don't even know God, and God don't know them. I'm talking about preachers, true God-sent preachers, prophets of God, men of God. They know how to think. They know what to say. They know what they're doing. And they're about their Father's business. And brother, they're going to throw some back. Somebody said, let them grow, Brother Pike. The Bible said, let them grow. I've heard preachers do that, trying to hold on to them. They'll say, the Bible said, let them grow. You can't pluck them up. The Bible didn't say that in the church. It said, pluck them out. Get them out of there. Get rid of the old leaven. You'll leaven the whole lump. Cut off the cancerous arm to keep from destroying the body. He said, let them grow together in the field. That's the world. Come on, folks. In the field. Don't try to separate them in the field. Let them grow together, but not in the church. I made the statement today to a brother I was talking to, a very sincere brother. I said, in my revivals, coming into a schoolhouse, if they come in with pantsuits on, I don't try to hurt their feelings. I'll try to reach them for God. But I don't alter my sermons. I don't change the fashion of my sermons. I still preach the gospel. But see, I'm out in the highways and hedges. I'm trying to get a hold of them. I'm trying to indoctrinate them. I'm trying to reach them for God. But let me tell you something. When they come down to the church of Little Bethlehem, they stop them at the door. See, that's the church. That's the house of God. That's the lighthouse. That's where standard is held up. Now, you can go out in the highways and hedges. That's one thing. But, brother, when they come into the house of God, that's another thing. You follow me? We're out here in the highways and hedges trying to get them now. Jesus ate with the sinners and the publican. Even out here, they're going to get upset at you. Somebody said, Brother Pike, that's the way I believe it. When you're out there in the evangelistic service, you shouldn't say anything about it. I'll tell you what, when you're out there in the evangelistic service, if you ain't saying nothing about it, you ain't doing no good. And besides that, if you ain't saying nothing about it, it won't be long before you'll drag all that trash into the church. And then God will reject you in the church and everything else. You follow me? You've got to say something about it. Because you're going to lose some of them, folks. You're going to lose some of them. But you're going to keep some of them. The elect will be saved. Every elect, everyone that God's given will come to Him. They will not come to Him by you compromising. They'll come to Him by you preaching the Word. So I said, now, Brother Pike, I believe you've got to be easy so you won't lose none of them. It's not up to me to save them. It's up to God to save them. He told me to preach the gospel to them. And the gospel is the Word. And I've told you what the Word says. A lot of things I'd like to say to you tonight, but I think you've been real patient. I've not tried to hurt you. I've not tried to scold you. But you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I do not alter my sermons for nobody. I do not alter them. If you're in my service one time, two times, 10 times, you'll hear me preach the same thing. What is that? The Word. There ain't nothing else to preach. Okay, let's sing a little chorus together. I wonder if we can sing that little song, "We'll Give the Glory to Jesus." And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about God's love. We'll sing about God's love. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll sing of His wonderful love. You know, some folks will say, Brother Pike, it's all right to say something about the dressing, but there's no need to take a text on it. You ought to just hit it and go on. But when they go to take an offering, they don't want to hit it and go on. They want to hit it, and if they don't get what they want to hit it again. And if they don't get it in that, they want to hit it again. So see, that's the way I am with the gospel. If I hit it and don't get it, I want to hit it again. After a while, you'll get it. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about God's love. We'll sing about God's love. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus, and we'll sing of His wonderful love. The Bible said, in that day the trees of the Lord shall be few, so few that even a child shall number them. For straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. And He said, fear not, little flock, you've got the kingdom. It is thy Father's good pleasure to give unto thee the kingdom. You believe that? All right, now, folks, this is the throwing back time. I read to you tonight, the day of God's redeemed. It says it's the day of God's redeemed. This is the people that's going to be raptured. These are holy people that's going to go in. You know that people with mini skirts, pantsuits, people form-fitting clothes, people with bad spirits, people skeptics, fault-finding, liars. You know there's not going to be any such as that in heaven. You know better than that. Somebody said you can't judge a person, Brother Pike, by their dressing. If you can't judge him by their dressing, I'd love to know what you're going to judge him by. The Bible said the child is known by his doings. If he puts on a pair of short pants, that proves he believes in putting on short pants. If she puts on short dresses, that's her doings. That proves what she's doing. And the child is known by it. Said you can't tell that she's got that kind of spirit. I certainly can, because she wouldn't have it on if she didn't have that kind of spirit. Somebody said, well, she don't know, Brother Pike. Well, it's my job to tell her. And then when she does know, it's her job to put it on. I told her tonight, if she's elect, she'll put it on. Somebody said, but just supposing she's lost, then she's of the devil. Because the Bible said God didn't lose a one of them. Said they went out from us. Are you listening? Said they went out from us. Somebody said, well, what about Sister So-and-so that served God for 10 years and then left? No doubt she was of the devil. The Bible said if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. Why didn't they continue with us? Said they went out from us. Then what does the Bible say? They went out from us because they were never of us. And they went out from us that it might be made manifest that they were never of us. They were never of us to begin with. That's why God let them go. They never was to start with. Spots and blemishes in the feast of charity. You love the Lord? Hallelujah. I don't want to hold too late tonight. Last night we run over our schedule. We're under contract with them here tonight, you know. And we run over last night. Some of them got a little disturbed, and we don't want to do that. We want to try to do our best. I believe we ought to be lenient, you know, and let God have his way. I believe everybody ought to work together on that, because God will require it of us in the day of judgment. But nevertheless, we want to try to be a testimony for Christ and do what we can. I thank God for you people. The ones that have come out here, most everyone that's come has been very reverent. Some of them have slipped out a little early because they might have been a little weary and they wanted to go. Some have slipped out a little early because it was more than they could take. They might chew on it a little while, might digest it and even come down to little Bethlehem. You can't ever tell. Some went out from us because they were never of us. When the sons of God come to present themselves, the sons of Satan come also. How do you know that? No doubt there's sons of Satan here tonight, but there's also sons of God. Can we sing that chorus one more time? And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. I want every one of you to gather around the altar for just a few minutes tonight with me.
Sing about his
last
love.
Night of the service.
We'll sing.
Wonderful spirit here. And I just talked with you and exalted you a little bit tonight. I was hoarse,
the glory,
tired and weary from praying.
Jesus.
But I told you some things tonight that'll do you good all the days of your life. Be still and know that I'm God. God wants to do something for you, folks. He loves you tonight. He loves you with an everlasting love. He loves you. Friends might not love you. Mother might not love you. Others might not love you, but Jesus loves you tonight. Jesus loves you tonight. Everyone that's here tonight ought to be a soul winner. There shouldn't be one person here tonight that's not a soul winner. There's not one individual tonight but what you could win a soul for God. And the Bible said that the angels in heaven have a jubilee over one soul coming to repentance. Have you believe in the gospel jubilees? Not the way the world does it, but like the Jews did when they call it jubilee year. A real gospel jubilee. Hallelujah. God loves you and he's wanting to help you. We come here because this is the beginning of the end time revival. It is the beginning of the end time revival. Not where the net will go out and grab everything, This time it is the revival to the church. This time it is the translation. This time it is the change of the saints. That's right. The other was for the world, but this is for the saints of God. This time they're going to get that they need to take them home. This time Rebecca's going into the mother's tent, and the veil's going to be taken off, and they're going to see face to face, and the great things of God is going to transpire. Hallelujah. This is it, folks. Let's sing it again now together. I want you to gather around the altar with me for just a few minutes. I want to bless you tonight. How do you believe I can bless you tonight? Amen. Amen. Said Abraham, whoever curses you, I'll curse them. Whoever blesses you, Abraham, I'll bless them. I can bless you tonight. He's really blessed me today. I feel like blessed you. Bible said freely receive, freely give. I freely received today and yesterday. Hallelujah. So that I feel like freely giving tonight. Oh, I tell you, it does me good when a man of God blesses me. When a real Christian or child of God blesses me, it does me good. They come into my house and they sit down at my table and I feed them. And I bow my head, you know. And when I bow my head, I say, oh Lord, let him bless me. Bless me. God, don't let him go away without blessing me. That's right, I plead for the favor of God. Let him bless me, Lord. Let him bless me. And all of a sudden, I feel the warm flow of God like I feel right now. And I'll hear the man just praying. He'll say, Lord, bless Brother Pike. I'll say, hallelujah. 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 Amen. The blessing of the Lord. You say, why do you want the blessing of the Lord? The Bible said, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich. How do you like to be rich? I don't want to bless you tonight so you can be rich. Hallelujah. We're going to sing that little chorus again, give the glory to Jesus. And then we're going to bless you and we'll turn this service back over to our brother. Okay, let's sing it together now. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about His love. We'll sing about His love. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll sing of His wonderful love. Sing it one more time. Oh, we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about His love. We'll sing about His love. Oh, we'll give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll sing of His wonderful love. Now I want you to slip your hands up, and while they're playing on the instruments over here, I want to bless you tonight.
To Jesus, we'll sing.
Remember, I remind you again. The Bible said, whosoever you bless,
about His love,
they will be blessed.
And we'll give
as Jacob lay on his bed,
all the glory,
he was about to yield up the ghost.
Jesus,
but before he did, he called his sons and he blessed them. When Brother Isaac's eyes were dim and he was ready to yield up the ghost, he called Jacob and he blessed him. And he said, and he shall be blessed because I've blessed him. And tonight, I'm going to bless you tonight. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel He wants to bless you tonight. And I want you to believe tonight. I want you to believe God loves you. After I bless you tonight, I think Brother JT's got a vision he's going to come up and tell you. Has to do with this meeting. But I want to bless you tonight. Father of heaven tonight,
the glory,
I love you, Jesus.
Jesus.
I love you, Jesus.
We'll sing.
Father, these are my children.
His love.
You know,
we'll
God,
sing about his love.
You said if I bless them, they'll be blessed.
All the glory.
I bless them tonight,
to
Jesus.
And
Father, you said whatever I bind in heaven or on the earth, you'd bind in heaven. I bind it on earth tonight. I bless these people.
Yes, we'll
I bless them tonight, Jesus. In your name, Jesus. And they shall be blessed. I want you to bless their substance. Bless their souls. Bless their little families. Bless them on the highway, God. Help them to receive the blessing tonight by faith in God. I bless them in the name of Jesus tonight. Father, I bless your people. So great a people. I bless them in Jesus' name. Now let's just lift our hands and praise God, can you? For the blessing. Praise God tonight. Hallelujah.